It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you'll turn with me in the scripture. Yes, Robbie knows where I'm going. Those of you that were here this morning might find this a little remarkable. Luke chapter 18. I'm excited in the Word. And when you get to Luke chapter 18, we're going to pick up at verse number 18. Stick your finger there and then flip over to Matthew chapter 26. And stick your finger there and then flip back to Luke. And when you find them, please stand for the reading of the Word. I love to hear the rustling of the leaves. Amen. Luke, chapter 18, verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these I have kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, For he was very rich. And flip over to Matthew chapter 26. Picking up at verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane. And saith unto his disciples, Sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto him, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Notice they're in a different place than what the others are. And he went a little further and fell on his face. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The thought that the Lord gave me is going beyond the garden gate. And as I studied this, I kept looking, and I was like, Lord, you're just dropping this message in the middle. I don't understand. I need a beginning. I need a building. And I was still looking for it this morning, and Robbie stands up and pulls out Luke and goes right on for the beginning. He said, What's it going to take? How can you have that relationship was basically how he was telling us. What it takes to have that relationship with God. Well, I'm going to tell you, it takes going beyond the garden gate. The whole multitude wants to go up to the gate. But let's go first with this rich young ruler. If you notice, Jesus told him all of the commandments that dealt man to man. There's a reason that he told him that. It's easy for us to be good to somebody who is right in front of us. It's easy for us to do the things that are morally correct, that are taught to us from our youth up. Those are pretty easy things to do. We know to do them because if I go over here and I do something to Brian, Jimmy's liable to see me. And if Jimmy don't, the law will come and get me and put me in jail. And that ain't where I want to be. So all of those things, and we look at that and we think, boy, that's a pretty good list that he gave him there. But if you look at the list, it's really pretty easy. And probably most of the people sitting in this building now don't have a problem with stealing. I hope. Don't have a problem with committing adultery. I hope. Don't have a problem with killing somebody. I really hope. Don't have a problem with bearing false witness. Not liars. I hope. Don't have a problem honoring thy father and mother. Don't have a problem with that, do we? But then he said, Hey, I got this whooped. I did all that. But Jesus brought him down to something that the first five commandments deal with. That's how man deals with God. He had let something become between him and God. And that was his money. But I'm telling you, it's easy in this world I mean, I don't guess none of us sitting in here is really rich, or we'd be in a different position altogether, right? But I'm telling you, there's a lot of other things that come between us and God. I have let many things come between me and God. And that was the route that Jesus wanted to get to. It's just like, well, I just had to hold the same role. Jesus knows what we've done. And I believe when he was saying that, he was really kind of baiting the hook, pulling him in. He knew what he had done. He knew he'd kept them, but he said, there's one thing that you lack, one thing you're coming short on. Now, if he would have said, now these are five commandments, a deal from God to man, and you're doing pretty good, but let me tell you about the other five. No, he didn't go into that. Jesus don't give us a great big load that we can't handle. He don't tell you, you got to cut this off, cut this down, stop this, quit doing this, quit looking at that, turn this over, cut this, pull this. He don't give us a list of everything we got to do, and then you can come to me. He says, come as you are, and I'll help fix you. I'll speak to your heart, and I'll straighten that part out. Come as you are, and I'll receive you unto myself. He said, all you got to do is. Now, I would think most people's, well, I like to think, let's put it that way. Everybody in here, if I come up and I knocked on your door, somebody would answer it if you were home. I wouldn't want you peeking out the curtain and saying, shh, don't move, they'll never know we're here. But if you're looking and you want to know God, he will reveal himself to you. But Jesus done something. There was a group of the guys that he had with him. There was 11 people with him. And he got to the gate, and those 11 were to stay there. There's some folks that just can't go into the gate because they don't want to go into the gate because it's going to cost a little something. It's a little bit harder to start to get close to God. I could ask people, how many people in this room, and we can do it right real quick by the show of hands, how many people in here has heard of God? How many people here has heard of Jesus? How many people heard he's coming back? We all got that basic belief. Now, I wouldn't ask you to hold your hand up for the world on this, but how many of you believe that God can actually speak to you? How many of you believe that the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost wants to reside in you? That brings a whole new thing to the table. And that's the three that Jesus took inside the gate, and he says, sit here and watch. I don't have a problem with somebody wanting to sit and watch. I don't have a problem with somebody sitting down as I begin to witness to them. A girl at church, I've been witnessing to her. I mean, at work, I've been witnessing to her. I can't tell you how many years. You know what she tells me, Brian? I'm thinking about it. I don't have a problem with somebody considering the cost. I just tell her, sis, don't wait too late. You can consider the cost. It's biblical, isn't it? Don't it tell us? Sit down and think about it. Because we don't want to start to build something that we don't have enough to finish it. And I don't mind people watching and praying. We need more people to watch and pray. But after you've been to the garden, and after you've been taken up to the gate, and you've been told to sit and watch, which that's what everybody raising their hands, that's what you just said. I've been sitting, I've been watching. I know who he is. I know what he's doing here. I know what his purpose is. We can do it again. Show me a show of hands that knows that Jesus died for our sins. Unanimous. We know. But how about taking it a step further? How many of us really want Jesus as our Savior? And how many wants him as our king, as the Lord of our life? It differs a little bit. I like the kind Jesus who comes to me in my time of misery. I like the kind of Jesus that swoops up the dearly departed and carries them into heaven. I like the Jesus that'll bless me when I need to be blessed. I like the Jesus that'll give me the job when I need him. I like the Jesus when I'm in a time of trouble and I got a crowd, oh God, and he comes to the rescue. I like that kind of Jesus. But the kind that gets on my nerves is the one that comes poking and prodding around in my life and tells me that you need to line up here, you need to follow this, you need to do that, you need to not do this, you need to stay away from this. Those kind of Jesuses kind of get on people's nerve. I had one guy tell me, he said, I don't know if I can serve a God like you're always messing around in my business. I said, I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can serve a God that I can put on a shelf and say, I'll be right back. Because I don't know, he might be on the shelf and I need him over here. We can't contain him in a little box. And he wants you. Willa Dean, he wants you. You remember them old posters back in the day had old Uncle Sam on it, and he's going, I want you. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing today. I want you. I can make you into something that you never dreamed you can be. Well, does that mean if Shannon gets saved and starts following God, she's going to be a superstar? Doubt it. Don't mean it can't happen. Nothing against you, Shannon, but that's just the way life is. Not here. Don't look for it here. It ain't going to happen. But boy, when you kneel down to pray and you're seeking God, according to the scriptures that I believe, all heaven stops. Can you imagine the God on the throne and Jesus sitting next to him? When somebody starts to pray, Jesus goes, listen. And can you imagine the quietness in heaven? And then that person says, Lord, I'm ready. Save my soul. And all heaven breaks loose rejoicing. Why? Because one's come home. They rejoice because they know. I'll be honest with you. How many of us, by show of hands again, how many of us know exactly what heaven looks like? So there ain't none of us alone. We can figure the best that we can, but we really don't have an idea. We can't get anywhere with that. But by show of hands again, how many of us know that if the word stands long enough, we're going to die? Look back here on that back row. See all them young folk back there? How many of you know you're going to die if the world stands long enough? See their hands go up. You know why? Because we all know that. We know that's going to happen. Now, I know we look at Tony and we'll say, well, he's younger than you. And this one or that one, and we'll put them in age. Maybe Austin, he's the youngest, so he'll probably go last. We don't have that promise. I don't have the promise of tomorrow. But thank God I'm ready for today. I'm ready for whatever comes my way. And if death comes up, as I said, I can't get it out of the messages, Joan. If you look at me in that box, it's not so long. See you later. He's not dead. He's risen. I ain't risen in this life. But I've risen to a place because I've committed my life to Christ. Has it been easy? No. 1,000 times, no. But Jesus went a little further. Are we willing to go beyond the garden gate of this life? Are we willing to go just a little bit further in the things that we need to do to get a hold of a relationship with Jesus? Are we willing to do that? And that's a personal question. That's a question that when it came to me, Cheryl couldn't answer. Probably knows me better than even my family. Probably knows me better than Robbie. Probably knows me better than anybody next to Jesus. But she can't answer the question whether or not I'm willing to follow God. Or if I just want a surface relationship. If I just want him when I go to have surgery. Or when I have a disease or a doctor's visit. Or when I have a family crisis or I need some money. Sounds almost like I'm a spoiled brat if I'm that way, don't it? Now, any of you sitting in here, if that's all I wanted from our relationship, would you be willing to hang out with me? If all I wanted to do was bum from you, Rick, would I be your friend? Matter of fact, I know on them cell phones, I see them do it. You can flip it up. Mine don't have it, but I guess some of them does. And you can look at the back of the thing and it'll tell you who's calling. And you know, I've got a lot of folks that I see them, they look at it and go, click, put it back in their pocket. And they'll say, he just wants something. I don't want to be that way. I don't want, when I cry to God, that God says, oh, everybody be quiet. He's just wanting something again. I want to have that relationship. How can I go deeper spiritually? Well, let's get some scriptures up in here. I'll tell you what, turn to Hebrews, and I'll get on that here in just a minute. But we'll get you a little bit further. Hebrews chapter 5. In the book of Acts, when I'm pretty sure it's Acts towards about the middle ways, maybe. Towards the end, I reckon. Paul, I believe it is, happens upon some of John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples. And he's talking to them and he's asking them about this wonderful thing called the Holy Spirit that's been poured out. And he comes up to them and he says, have you received the Holy Ghost? Don't get freaked out. We're not talking about another work of the Spirit or any of that. Talking about the infilling. Look, let me give you something on this. The Bible declares no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Can you say Jesus is Lord, Carly? Okay, I'll rest my case. And they said, we don't even know if there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. We don't even know if there be something. We know Jesus died. We know He died for our sins. We know He resurrected. But as far as getting closer and having this leader come into us and lead us and guide us, we don't even know if there be such a thing. Paul said, hot dog, sit down for a minute. Let me tell you something. So it could be one thing that keeps us from going through the gate is just not having the knowledge and not hearing about it. But I want to make sure everybody hears about it. I want to tell everybody you can have a personal relationship with God. Far more personal than what a man and a woman does. Even though the Bible uses marriage to talk about our relationship with God, there's an intimacy that happens that when you begin to speak to God and spend time with God, that He'll come in your life. In Hebrews chapter 5, let's look at verse number 12. Because it can also be the reason that we don't go a little further is maybe it's a little expensive. Maybe it costs us too much. The time that it takes for us to study and to learn. Hebrews says, chapter 5, verse number 12, For the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles and the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Folks, we ought to be on strong meat. Well, what is strong meat? You know, I thought it was deep revelations and all of this stuff. But Paul explains it right here. 13, he says, for everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And I thought, well, now what's that? How can that be? Well, as usual, if we just read on, the Word will explain it. Look at verse number 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What is strong meat? Discerning good and evil. That's what strong meat is. That's me being able to instruct you in the Word and you be able to take it. Discerning whether this is good or evil. Discerning what we need to do. Somebody, somewhere has to instruct you whether you like it or not. I hear so many people say, well, it's just me and Jesus and that's it. Well, yeah, it's you and Jesus. But what was that story that you used this morning? The rich man and Lazarus? And he said he has the prophets. He has Moses and the prophets. If he don't listen to what the Word says, basically, if he don't listen to the Bible, if he don't listen to what we have written down, if he don't believe that, he won't believe one come back from the dead. And I'll tell you, I've never seen a day when so many people are looking for a sign or a wonder. God, if you'll just show me this. And as soon as they get that sign, they turn around and say, well, now, God, that could have happened to anybody. If you'll just do this, boom, it happens. Well, if you just do this, and look, if one come back and visit you from the grave and said, Cheryl, whatever they say, somebody say, well, now, Cheryl. Now, Debbie, come on. It was a dream. That dream don't mean anything. I got a book that tells you a lot of dreams that are from God mean something. So we have to be willing to accept the strong meat that comes to us so that we can grow more spiritually and be able to go a little further and pray. Well, you'll get a few more scriptures. Well, and I'll tell you, some folks just can't change their ways. Some folks are just in their traditions, they're in their way, and you ain't going to change them, and nobody else is going to change them, right? How many people, again, by show of hands, know somebody hard-headed? Look at that, boy, Tony's, I do. We all know somebody hard-headed. And when you try and you try and you try and you try and you try to tell them and finally just go, I don't know what it's going to take. And then here comes Denzel and Joan and they come up and they start talking to them and they say, you know, you're right. And you're like, what have I been saying? It's not a personal thing. Lord knows what He's doing. Every seed you plant is a seed planted. And it's the seed's natural response to the soil, the water, and the sun to open up and come forth. Every seed goes in. God says His word will not go out void. Whether you think you're listening or whether you don't. A lot of times we don't think the kids are listening. But I think the parents can tell you they are. I didn't think, some of y'all know Jeff Hamilton, and I wouldn't embarrass him if he was here. I'd say this same thing. When he was a little feller, I didn't think, he's always playing and stuff. I didn't think he'd pay any attention, Debbie. And we went by Rich's garage one day, and Rich's garage, he made it into a house, into a church, so I should say, by Rich's church. And I could hear Jeff in there. He was a hollering and a going on, and I said, what's he doing? That blessed me. He said, all he does is imitate you. I look in the window and he's saying, it's God! It's God! And you got to follow Him. Back years ago, every time I preach, I don't know, the right leg would just come up. And I'd see him in there just giving it this. And I thought, Lord, I never thought He ever paid any attention. Never thought He listened. And as those of parents of kids can tell you, they listen. They listen. So we need to let our traditions maybe get folded down to a different way of thinking. We need to let maybe our life take a different turn so that we can allow Jesus to come in and do the work that He has to do. I'll give you some scripture. Colossians tells us, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy. Or through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. There's some folks that'll spoil you. There's some folks, Tony, you go to school, and you might say, boy, let me tell you what I learned out of the Word of God this week. And they just ain't going to be excited about it. Don't let that slow you down, brother. You go from that one and go right on to the next one. If you ain't got nothing but a Coca-Cola bottle, set it up and say, I'm going to tell you all about Jesus. That sounds silly, don't it? We was preaching at Emmanuel. I thought we just go out back and have church out back. Never thought nothing about it. I just felt like we go out back and have church behind the building. And we did. And we had church and I preached. When we had the altar call, and then a man come walking up there from behind the semi-trailer and he's saying, you know, I was just over there praying, God, if you could just show me something. And y'all come out back and had church. And when I get home, first thing I'm going to do is me and my wife's going to go to church. And we're going to get my life straightened out. But what if I'd have just sat there in my chair while I was waiting for him to get done doing praise and worship? He said, that's silly. It's hot. Why would we need to go outside? That's the silliest thing. Somebody outside praying, looking for God. Folks, we got to get out of the frame of mind that it's my way or no way. Because if He's really King, it's His way. I tell them all the time at work, they'll say, well, we'll get to joking, and they'll say, well, I'm the manager. I say, you're only my boss if I let you be boss. If I don't listen to you, you ain't my boss no more. And that's where Jesus said, why call you me Lord and do not the things I say? Why do you say I'm your Lord, I'm your Savior, but you don't want to do the things that I ask of you? He goes on. Lordy, I don't even know where to go from here. The biggest reason that Jesus went a little further, when he got to where he went just a little bit further than what they did, they were praying that they wouldn't enter into temptation. See, there's a place where you know Jesus. Then there's a place where you need to pray that you're not tempted anymore. And then there's a place where Jesus went. It was a little further, and he was looking for one thing. Father, not my will. Boy, how much could we... I'll let you have your seat, brother. You're going to have a standoff with me. How much trouble, sorrow, sickness, mistakes, sin, could we avoid if we went with God's will instead of our will? How many times in your life have you decided, I'm going to do that? Regardless. Men, folk, I know every one of y'all can say, I'm going to make it happen. It ain't happening fast. Ain't the right, Denzel. Buddy, you shake your head, I'll preach with you. We sit there and we say, I'll make it happen and God will bless it. And we make it happen and it's a mess. Struggle with a part on a machine. I'll get it, and it won't move. Get a spark plug out of a motor and fuss and fight and argue with that thing. I watched a brother working on a car, and he was clanking, his knuckles bleeding, clanking, this knuckle would bleed, and he was wrestling with that thing. You could have got a 400-pound sumo wrestler out there and to give him just a harder time is what that spark plug was. And Larry was standing there with us. Brother Larry, you know how he is. He said, well, brother, why don't you just pray about that and see if you can get it? Well, when you're frustrated, that's the first thing you want to hear, right? So he said, you just stop and I'll pray and we'll see. He prayed and he goes, all right, now go after her. Stuck that socket down there and went, tsh, 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 right out. He said, brother, I hope you make it to heaven. That's another preacher friend he said that to. So we all had two of us had a good laugh about that. But I believe if we would seek God and allow our will to be broken, as we see these cowboys on the cowboy movies, on the westerns, we don't call them cowboy movies no more. I guess that's too old time. On the westerns, when they catch a horse, what do? Put him in that pen. And you can't hold nobody down and make them pray, but they grab the horse by his head, and they flip that saddle on him and reach underneath there real easy, and they fasten that saddle up, and then that feller gets on there, and as soon as they let go of that horse's head, what happens? Boy, he just fusses and fights because he don't like it. Ain't nobody been on his back. Ain't nobody going to get on his back. I'm not going to walk how somebody tells me to walk. I'm not going to jump when they say jump. And they ain't going to ride when they decide they want to. And he gives it all he can. But if the will of that cowboy is stronger than the will of the horse, next thing you know, the horse is walking. I'm glad God climbed up on my back. And broke my... Boy, I tell you what, they ain't nobody give a better fight than what I did. I'm telling you. Carly, I fought him left and right all the way down. And he determined not to let me go. He said, as long as you keep walking back into the stable, when you come out, I'm going to be right here. And as soon as I'd step out, I'd feel the saddle getting back on me again. So maybe we could go a little further as Jesus did and allow God to reveal his will in us. And I wouldn't ask a show of hands, but how many of you know there's something you need to be doing, and I just ain't doing it? This is a part, Andrew, where everybody goes, I ain't going to say. Look, it's not a bad thing. There's nobody sitting in these seats that can't say they fought against the will of God in their life. There's not a person in here. If you are, you come up here. I want to shake your hand right now. Never mind, you ain't got to come up. I'll come back there. So see, you're in good company again. What tonight I want to give you is just a solid basics, just as Robbie said. He said this morning that Jesus told them churches, I know your works, but he said, go back. And do your first works over. Sometimes we got to go back to the starting line and start all over. Because there's learning to be done. It's not comfortable. It's not great. How many folks has failed a temptation, had to repent and come back to God and start all over? How many people have been just excited about that? But we can go a little further. We can go beyond that gate. We can step out in God and start to create a relationship. Now, does that mean that the first time you step out, Denzel Wellington, that you're going to bow down and say, okay, God, I'm beyond the gate. I'm seeking your will. Bring it on, guy. Talk to me, big man. Come on. I'm here. Think Denzel's going to hear anything? It takes time to create a relationship. Oh, when you meet somebody the first time, you kind of start sizing them up and listening to them, but you're still not sure. Now, if you have to talk to people a couple of times before you can really give yourself, how much more is it going to be for you to hear from God? Because everything's going to be storming up in your mind. And I guess we'll just go here. When you go beyond that gate, let me tell you what, there's some things going to happen. Okay? First thing going to happen, your flesh is going to get crazy. You're going to have all kinds of thoughts. Whole time you're trying to pray. It's going to happen. Devil's going to fight you left and right. Everything that can happen is going to happen to keep you away from it. But can I tell you, Rick, if you get down, I think it's refrigeration is what you fool with most of the time, ain't it? If you get down to pray and you say, God, I'm coming. Lord, I want to know your will. I want to know what you want me to read. I want to know what you want me to study. If you see any imperfection in me, and you start thinking about that refrigerator, it breaks down every time. That unit, tell him about that. You don't have to say, no, I'm in the presence of God. Is concerned with every single aspect of your life. And if you're thinking that, now think what Jesus say when he told you to pray. Give your heart to God. Pray your heart. He already knows what it is. He don't want to see you sitting down there arguing with yourself over what to pray. If that refrigerator says, start praying. God, I don't know what I'm going to do with that thing. I can't seem to keep it up. Or they tear it up or whatever happens to it, happens to it. And you know, I found something in that, sis. When I would start to pray, whatever, if it was work, if it was fishing, if it was hunting, if it was me and Cheryl going over to Taylorsville and going, she calls them backwoods Terry walks because she says I walk her to death. But if it's about that pops in my mind, I pray about that, Scott. I say, God, we need some sunshine on that day. Don't let temperatures be too cold to freeze her to death. Don't let it be so hot that sweat her to death. I won't be able to get her back off the hill. I can pray about that. And you know those thoughts just go away, and then I can get to my business. But my biggest problem is when I go to prayer, God, I ain't got time to sit here and talk about all this stuff. You know, bless me, give me some money, keep me healthy, keep my family going. Thanks for the job. I'll see you tomorrow. But it takes time to build a relationship. If you don't talk to people, you won't ever know them. And if we don't talk to our God, folks, we ain't never going to know him. He don't care, brother, whether that's on your mind or not. He just wants to talk to you. Now, what kind of relationship, Rick, would me and you have? See, y'all think I'm picking on Rick, but we can do this in Sunday school. I already asked him if I can use it. What kind of relationship would we have if every time you start to bring something up, I say, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Right. I don't want to talk about that either.
But what about
it? Don't want to talk about that. Let me tell you what I want to talk about.
No, I don't want to hear about that.
Exactly. Why? Why wouldn't you want to hear from me?
Because if you want to talk to listen to me, I don't want to talk to you.
There we go. So in going that other step, in going that step further, folks, empty your heart to God. And you'll get to a place where when you sit down and you get ready to pray, all of those things won't be coming back into your mind. If that thing can pop in your mind and you're going to spend all of your prayer time wrestling back and forth with it, God's just sitting there saying, when can I get in? Give, deliver your heart. And if you're getting good at it, Jimmy, and you've been praying and praying and praying, and then all of a sudden, boom. I don't know, Caleb pulled your favorite whatnot off the shelf and broke it. That pops in your mind. Tell the Lord about it. Bless his little heart so he don't yank another one off. And if we would just allow ourselves, look, we think that we have to impress God with some great introduction and some great prayer. You're going to have to outpray these guys. And I'm going to tell you, if you try it, you can't. You can't. But if you open up your mouth and you give yourself to God, you can. Joan Withington, Moses never prayed a prayer like you'll pray. Have you ever thought about that? The prophets in the Bible, Brian will never pray a prayer like you can pray. Ray, they'll never pray a prayer. Won't find one in here like one that you'll pray. Because your heart will break different for your children than theirs ever did. Your desire, Rick Hall, your desire to know God in an intimate way will go much deeper than what they did. Does that mean that they didn't seek God? Absolutely not. But it's His love for God. And God can't shut that off. He won't shut it off. Give yourself. Look, there's a void that is in all of us that only the Spirit can fill. I'm talking to those that have been in church for years. There's some times when you think you can eat it away. Anything you eat just don't taste right. Maybe I'll shop it away. You go buy whatever it is, that thing you wanted. You buy it and you hang it up and it just ain't what you wanted. You go get that thing that you wanted and it just ain't. That just don't. Maybe it's a holiday, and when we get to this holiday, it'll be the ultimate gift. We'll have an anniversary, and boy, I'll just get you the finest thing in the world, and it just ain't it. It don't feel that. Oh, she might love it. She might wear it. I don't know. Whatever I get her. Squirt it on. Rub it on. Comb it on. Slide it on. Whatever. And it may just tickle her to death. But then I walk away, and I still got that emptiness. Can I tell you folks, there's only one thing that I've ever found that will fill that emptiness. There's only one thing, I'm telling you. Cheryl, is there anybody, including Walmart, got more camouflage clothes than I got? I even challenge you. Because I thought buying would feed that. But it don't. And then I find myself when I draw away from the Lord, and it's not always just a great revelation. I might read two or three verses and begin to just sit. And sometimes, you know, Joan, I just spend time with Him and may not say nothing. Sometimes it seems like I can't shut up. But I walk away filled. I walk away, man, I want to go preach somewhere. I want to go call somebody. I want to say something. The other day, I don't know why, right? I told Brother Rick, I said, I didn't know whether it'd mess you up or not, the stuff you're doing, but you was on my heart and I was feeling the Lord. I just wanted to call you. He said, well, call me. If I don't hear a cell phone, I'll return it. Sometimes I just feel like that. Sometimes I don't know what to do because it's so filled. Wayne, I've tried everything that I can get my hands on. Everything that what dollars I got can buy. I've eaten everything that I can find in the cupboard and in the refrigerator. Look, it's something when the chocolate-covered peanuts don't fix it, brother. Is that right, Brian? I've eaten everything. I've got what I can. I know this and that, and I'm just, I get beside myself. I don't know what to feel it. And I'll go sit down, and I'll start studying, and I'll start getting happy in the Lord. I can't even finish. I start pacing the floor, walking. I fix me a glass of tea. Fix it, and I set it down in the living room. And I'll pace a little more, and I'll go read a little bit, and then I'll go, I'll have a cup of coffee, and I'll fix a pot of coffee. I'll set it down in the kitchen. I'll pace a little bit more, and maybe I'll go get me some Townhouse crackers. I love them buttery things. I'll get me a pack of them, and I'll chew on them. That ain't it. It's just the Lord filling it up. And when I can make myself sit down and allow the Lord to speak to me, I walk away full. And I look at that, and I said, boy, I wasted a pot of coffee. And now Cheryl ain't got no crackers for the casserole. And I got to fix another pot of tea. But we ain't got none for supper. When all I needed to do was just go beyond the gate. Just have some personal time with Jesus.